We'll just pray once more. Father, we pray now that you would speak through your word. We are wholly dependent upon you, both for the ability to preach and the ability to listen. And we pray now that you would come and bring clarity in both ways, that your message would enter deep into our hearts, that we would see all that you have done for us and so be changed. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So Luke 10 from verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.'" Well, I've just read a story about a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, an area I've just been in the last few days. But in this story, we have something that's very relevant to your life. It's something that's very relevant to my life. And we wouldn't be talking about these things tonight if they were not relevant. They are incredibly relevant. And this may be a story that Jesus told about 2,000 years ago. But for all that, it is something that's incredibly relevant for each one of us. And we need to bear that. And we may not feel in a position of need tonight. But let me tell you, each one of us, if we don't know Jesus Christ as our Savior, is in a position of need. And sometimes when things go wrong in our lives, we actually feel the need for ourselves. Sometimes when everything's going well, we don't feel that need. But whatever the case, whether we feel it or not, if we don't know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are tonight in a position of need. And you see, that's the position that this man found himself in. He was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And as he went along that road, he was surrounded by thieves. And these thieves attacked him, and it says that they stripped him of his clothes, and they wounded him, and they left, leaving him half dead. Now, how is that relevant to us? Well, in spiritual terms, that is exactly what sin does to us. That is exactly what this world does to us. All that God intended us to be, people knowing God, people with spiritual strength, with spiritual life, all those things are what God intended us to have, because God is good and because God loves us. But as we enter into this world, we are surrounded by sin, and very quickly this sin has an effect in your life, and it has an effect on my life. And just as these thieves came round this man and they stripped him of his clothing, so sin has a similar effect on our lives. And you know, it strips us of our respectability. It strips us of something of our dignity, so that people looking on start to say, well, that's not such a great person. And we may dress ourselves up in fine clothing, but ultimately it's our character which shines through. And however smartly we dress, people can see our character. It doesn't really matter how we dress, but people can see our character. And everyone knows your character, really. The people you spend time with, they can see what sort of person you are. And you see, sin strips us of that dignity. It strips us of that respectability that we ought to have. And so these thieves came and stripped this man of his clothing. But it also says that these thieves came and wounded him. And that's something else that sin does to us. It wounds us. It makes us feel bad. It makes us feel wounded. And sometimes, maybe more when you're alone than when you're with other people, you will feel in that position of weakness. We all do. We all feel bad about ourselves at certain times. And we may give various reasons why that is so. But the real reason is because of the sin that's in our hearts. It is the sin that causes us to feel bad. Psychologists, doctors, all sorts of people, sociologists will give other reasons why we feel bad at times. And we may seek to deal with that bad feeling with various things like drink and drugs. It's inevitable because we don't want to feel bad. We don't want to go around feeling bad. And we want to lose that pain. And so we find these various things. We try and find these other joys to deal with it. But it's sin that's at the root of our problem. And if the sin, if only the sin could be dealt with, then we wouldn't feel bad. We would have a real joy in our hearts. And it says that these thieves left the man, leaving him half dead. And that is really the situation we are in if we don't know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We are left as half dead. Yes, walking around and having a manner of life, a manner of strength, but really, inwardly, we are half dead. We have, as it were, a spiritual death. And if we think that we're fine, well, we know nothing of what God really intended us to have, the manner of life that God wants you as an individual to have. And so these are all the effects of sin upon our lives. And God doesn't want us to be that, like that. But you see, in this story, as this man lay by the road in this terrible condition, naked and wounded and half dead, someone came past on along the road. And this was a priest. Now, a priest in those days, very, very, very much respected, very important person in the community. But a moment he saw the man lying there, what does he do? He passes by on the other side. He doesn't want to get his hands dirty. He doesn't want to get involved. And whether or not he could help him, he's not interested. And it may be the same for us. The people are not really, most people are not really interested to look into our lives and see what our real problem is. They don't want to look at our problem. They would rather just tidy us away and forget about us. They give us an easy fix. Say, oh, it doesn't matter, you know, you'll get over it. Rather than having the care to look into our lives and deal with the problem. And then it says that another man, it says a Levite, who was another person who would have been respected in that community, a person of some importance. He says, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked, and he passed by on the other side. And there are many people who may not have the, who will not have the care, the time, the interest in us, really, even having seen our problems, to come and help and deal with it. When we're in that position where we are feeling bad, and we have all these issues in our lives that are not being dealt with, maybe our friends are looking on and seeing that we're in a bad way. And they know we're in a bad way. And yet they're not really willing to do anything about it. It's too much trouble. It's too costly to them. And so this person is left. He continues to be in this situation as these two quite important people have walked by and done nothing about his problem. And then finally, another man walks by. And this man is a Samaritan. Now, in these days, in Bible times, the Samaritans were a people who were greatly despised. They were people who were looked down upon. But it says that when this Samaritan came, he acted completely differently from the other two men. It says that when the Samaritan saw the wounded man, he had compassion. So he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And so I want to say tonight that the only person who has really had that compassion on you is a person who you may despise, a person who is perhaps generally despised in many places across the world. Someone who people will laugh at, someone who people will not take seriously. And that person is Jesus Christ. He is the only person who really had compassion upon your life, who cared about the bad way that you feel, who cared about the fact that you've lost your dignity, and he cared enough to come to you and to deal with the key thing, which was your problem, which was your sin. And he stepped in to the situation and did that which was necessary to cleanse you from your sin, to deal with everything that was wrong in your life, in order that you might have real life, that you might have real dignity, that you might have that change, that you might be healed. And so in the story, we see what the Samaritan did. It says he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And oil speaks of something that soothes. And when Jesus comes into your life, he will first of all soothe, he will deal with the pain, he will deal with the hurt in your life. But it also says that he poured in wine into his wounds. Now, wine is a kind of antiseptic. It will cleanse, there's alcohol in it, and it will deal with the dirt, it will deal with the bacteria. And so when Jesus comes into our lives, the thing he does is he cleanses us from our sins. He washes us from our sins. So those things that are causing us to be hurt, those things that are causing us pain inside, are dealt with. In other times, we talk about him washing us with his own blood. And you may know when we celebrate what we call the Lord's Supper, where we have the bread and the wine in church, the wine symbolizes the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus comes and it cleanses us from sin. It washes us clean, and all of that which is within us, which is hurting us, ruining our lives, he comes in and he deals with it. So he brings in oil, which soothes, and wine, which cleanses. Wine also speaks about joy. And when Jesus comes into your life, he also brings joy. He brings happiness. He brings change. And this is the remarkable thing. And then it says that he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And it says, on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, that's 2 coins, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. And so we see a picture of Jesus coming down from heaven and coming to the cross, and then after dying on the cross, he rises from the dead and he goes back into heaven. But he doesn't just leave us, but he provides us with everything that we need in order to, as it were, grow as Christians, to be strong. He looks after us. And when you come to Jesus for salvation, when you come to him for cleansing, he not only cleanses you from your sin, he not only heals the pain, he not only changes your life, but he continues to take care of you through the rest of your life. And he continues to take care of you for all eternity. And this is the testimony, this is the witness of those who have become Christians, that Jesus not only stepped into our life, he not only dealt with the pain, he not only healed our wounds, but he's continued to take care of us ever since. And if you want someone who's going to take care of you throughout your life, who's going to take care of you for all eternity, even after you die, this is the one person who will do it. It's only Jesus Christ. And in the time of your problem, you may go to the other people, like the priest walking past, the Levite walking past, and you may go to them for help. You may go to friends. You may go to family. You may go to psychologists. You may go to doctors. You may go to people who are supposed to be very clever. But they will never be able to care for you. They will never be able to help you like the Lord Jesus Christ can. And so we say to you, this is what God has done in our lives. Jesus Christ has saved us from sin. He's delivered us from all the problems of sin. But not only that, he has cared for us and he has looked after us every day. And we want to say to you, do you want that kind of Savior? Do you want that kind of one looking after you? One who will save you from sin. One who will cleanse you. one who will take care of you. This is what God wants to offer you tonight. And maybe you're sitting there, I don't know, maybe you think this is not wholly relevant for you. You've heard this same basic message many times. But this is relevant for your life. This is relevant for your hurts, for your pains, for your sins. This is Jesus Christ that we are talking about. I just want to read a few verses earlier on in Luke's Gospel. It talks about Jesus coming into the world. And he says that the reason why he came into this world. And he says, he reads from the prophet Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And some people think that Christianity, that Jesus Christ wants to bring you into some kind of slavery, wants to ruin your life. But if, as you read this or hear this, you see just what sort of a person Jesus Christ was and why he came. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to bring liberty, freedom to the captive. Sight, that means spiritual sight, to the blind. Liberty to those who are oppressed. I just want to say to you tonight, you need Jesus. You need one who is going to come in and deliver you and give you that freedom for which you were born. Even tonight, will you choose to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and see the extraordinary change, the extraordinary healing that that brings? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the message that you give to us, that there is healing because of what you have done for us. Lord Jesus, even that you died on the cross to bring us that healing, to bring us that freedom. And I pray now for everyone here who has heard again this message, that you would speak into their lives to reveal this truth, that you are there to heal them, that you are there to bring deliverance from the pain of sin, from the shame of sin, from all the harm that sin brings. And that you will then take each one on their way just to the place where they should be, where they can find rest and peace and strength in you. We thank you that it comes freely from you, and we pray that this would be a blessing that each one here receives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Sing together 336. Blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. Blessed be the dear Son of God, only by his stripes are we healed. Though I've wandered far from his fold, bring to my heart pain and woe. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. 336.